See everybody. Glad you're online with us. I got to watch the service at home online. It's a different experience to actually watch it online. So, hey, just want to let you know I love you. I see you in your PJs. Miss you. Thank you for all the prayer that you guys sent my way because Kirsten had COVID. For those that don't know, she's doing better. She's pretty exhausted, though. I think for those that have experienced it, it's kind of it's a weird thing that can make you just physically exhausted and worn out. So she's doing a lot better. Thank you for those prayers. And for those at home that maybe are experiencing or have had the worst case of it, we're praying for you. We love you. We know it impacts people differently every single time. So we're gonna have some fun this morning. We're gonna wrap up our series, and we're gonna talk about your brain this morning. Yeah, I know it's a scary place. I don't know what it's like down there, dark and scary. But first off, online last week, got to watch, and you know what? I am so proud of you guys. I am so proud. You guys did 1,030 shoeboxes for kids. 1,030. Okay, to put that in perspective, 15 years ago, New Life did 46 boxes. 15 years ago, and every single year grew because of Kayla King and other leaders like that. This year, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of not being together, in the midst of all that's going on, you guys stepped up and showed what real love looks like. And no matter what's happening around you, you guys said, you know what, we're going to bless people despite what's happening around us. So huge thank you for doing that. And I don't see Jenny Wing in here this morning, but she led the charge of this thing. And if you see Jenny Wing, give her a huge thank you because she did a fantastic job leading us in reaching out beyond our walls. It was fantastic. I told Kirsten, it gave me just so much excitement for what could happen because OCC is about gathering gifts, but also the gospel and sending it to places where they don't get gifts. I mean, me and you can run to Walmart right now and buy a dollar gift, right? A lot of places around the world don't have that ability. And so this organization is a fantastic way of reaching out and showing love. So huge thank you. Thank you to Steve last week who brought a great message. It was a fantastic message. I was hooping and hollering at home with me and the kids, and we were loving that message about generations. And that's what we want to do as a church is bridge generations together so that Jesus is more known and glorified. So I had a funny experience this past week, and so I like to tell you my weird life. And so I was cleaning out one of the cars, and as I was digging through it, I found a Jimmy John's gift card in there. And like, it got me so excited because I'm a real frugal person. So like, if there's any money on that, it's like the best day ever. So I go on Google, I type in the code on the back, and there was $9.64. That is a Jimmy John's sub and a cookie, okay? Like, I was pumped. So, got in the car, drove to Jimmy John's, excited. I ordered. I get to the front cashier or whatever, and I hand her the card, and I sit back playing my phone, and she comes back, and she's, "I'm sorry, sir, there's no money on this card." Now, I'm a pastor, so I can't react bad. So, I was like, "Oh, are you sure? Oh, you might want to just check it. Can you check again? Like, please, please." You know, she's like, "Okay, I'll go look." And she actually gets the manager over. They both type it in. They're like, "Sorry, there's no money on this card." So I had a choice, right? Good Christian or a jerk. So I chose the good Christian route. I said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I'll pay for it. No big deal." I paid for it. I drove out of the parking lot, parked my car, got my computer out, put on my hotspot on my phone. I said, "There is money on that card." And so I Googled and I typed in the code, got in Jimmy John's, used it, and I bought myself another sub and another cookie. Drove back and I got it from the line again. She's like, "What are you doing back?" I said, "I just really love subs here. You know, I really want that sub." And that feeling of knowing that there was money on that card, but I couldn't access it was actually a very frustrating feeling. Like, I knew that there was actually money on there, but I couldn't access it. And when it comes to your brain, when it comes to your mind, your thinking, I feel like that's how we feel. It's like we're frustrated because we know we're supposed to have maybe more peace than what we do. We know we shouldn't be as worried as we are. We know we shouldn't be as frustrated or angry, but we don't know how to not always have our mind going 1,000 miles an hour. Always thinking, always processing, and we don't know what to do with that. We don't know how to unlock that. And these past 7 months, just to be just transparent and raw, have probably been the hardest of my life. My brain feels like a punching bag. I don't know if you guys can relate. It's exhausted. I'm tired, worn out. You know, you got your own personal life with all the problems that that has. Then you got your work life, and you're trying to take care of people and love people. And then you had the whole world outside of that, and it's just nuts and chaos. And my mind is just worn out. All the things come against it. All the feelings like, man, I didn't do a good job. I didn't say the right thing, and I don't know what they're thinking about me when I said that. And, you know, what's going to happen to our future? And, you know, how are my kids going to survive another day with me as a parent? You know, what does this all look like? And my brain is just worn out. And I feel like a lot of you feel that same way, where your mind is just going, and it's just beat up. These 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, whatever it's been, has been exhausting, especially for our minds. And I know a lot of people that with their mind is ready to snap. They can only take so much of the pressure, the anxiety, the weight on their minds. And what I'm calling this message today, mind control. Because what often happens in our life is that our minds get so worn out, so beat up, and it actually overtakes our life, and we begin to act like something that we're not. Have you ever seen those movies where there's like this really good person, and next thing you know, the bad person comes and like puts a bug in their mind or does something to their mind, and next thing you know, they're like a bad person, they're like a robot because of what's happened in their mind? And I feel like that's what happens to a lot of us is that, you know, a couple years ago, maybe we weren't the way we are now, but because of what's happening in our mind, we're more snappy, we're more frustrated, we're more anxious or fearful, or we're more depressed or worried, and our mind is just taking over. It's controlling us. Our mind is so powerful because what we think about can actually just really grow inside. And I think of this idea, I don't know if you've ever been online, and you're, let's say you go on Google and, you know, you're like, you know what, I want a new mattress. And you Google, how much is a new mattress, right? And next thing you know, all over your internet screen are advertisements for mattresses. Have you experienced this before? You type in one thing, next thing you know, your phone's blowing up with, hey, mattresses half off. It's like, how did you know that? It's kind of creepy, kind of freaky, but they know what you're looking for. And I feel like that's what happens in our mind. We get this thought in our mind. Maybe it's like, I'm not good enough, or I don't know what's going to happen to the future of America, or I don't know what's going to happen with my kids. We get this thought, and next thing you know, it's just plastered in our mind. It's just blowing up. It's just popping around everywhere inside of our brain, and that keeps us up at night, and we're thinking, and we're thinking, and thinking about it. Also, what can happen is the insecurities. An insecurity, you know, you have one tiny insecurity that nobody knows about, and next thing you know, somebody says something, and then it just gets blown up in your mind. I told Kirsten I'm going to be a little bit more raw this service. So growing up, my family couldn't afford braces. And so I know I have a beautiful smile, but I have a little bit of teeth that come forward a little bit. And actually, growing up in school, I was always a little bit insecure about that. I was like, I wish I could get braces like all the other cool, rich kids. But, you know, I was like, I kind of went through it. A couple kids kind of made fun of me for it, but I punched them in the face and it was all good. You know, I was okay. But about 10 years ago, I was a camp counselor. And while I was a camp counselor, a little fifth grader comes up to me. And he points at me and says, hey, beaver teeth, beaver teeth. And he died that day. But, you know, so my insecurity of my teeth, this little kid, and I kind of like, oh, whatever, I'm good in Christ. But you know what happened? I begin to think about that over. You know, you've done this too. Somebody recognizes that insecurity. You don't feel like a good mom. And somebody says something about you as a mom. And you're like, oh, just, you're right, I'm not good. Or, you know, you're not good with your finances. And somebody says something, oh, I'm just not good. And your mind just wears you out. Am I speaking to anybody today? Okay. This group, always more honest than this group, okay? But, I mean, come on, at home, say yes in the comment section. Because I know you guys think this way because we're humans and we're all alike. But our minds are powerful. They control our life. They are like mind control for us. There's this young pastor way back in the Bible days, and his name was Timothy. Okay, and Timothy was trying to lead a church and try to lead people, and he had to lead a lot of older people. And the older people, I think, what was happening is that they were actually looking down upon him. They weren't talking really good about him, and he was insecure, and he didn't know exactly what to say. And his mentor sends him an email. His mentor's name is Paul. And Paul sends him an email, and Paul says this to him, Timothy, let nobody look down upon your youth, but be an example. And in the midst of that, he sends another email, and in the email, he writes one of the most powerful passages of Scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us this, for God hath not given you a spirit of fear, he's talking to this young man, not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. power, love, and a sound mind. If there's any young people out there, there's times in life where you feel like everybody's looking down upon you and you're not old enough to understand and you're just too small and you don't get, listen, don't let anybody look down upon your youth. Don't let what people say about you dictate you. Don't let your friends dictate who you are. And Paul writes this to Timothy, this young guy, and says, listen, you're supposed to have power, love, and a sound mind. I love that picture, sound, quiet, relaxed mind. Most of us don't have that. We don't have that peace of mind, especially in this season. And so we're going to unlock today what the key is. The scripture lays it out for us. So if you have a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse number 1. So you at home, you can grab a Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. We're going to break this few passages apart. There's a lot of great truths in there we're going to look at. But Romans chapter 8, starting with verse number 1, is the key. Now, we're going to see something in here that at first it won't make sense, but then you'll realize how it does impact your mind. So Romans 8, starting with verse number 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of the Spirit and death. So what he tells you, there's no condemnation to condemn. You're not condemned if you are in Christ. If you have a relationship with Christ. Now, just because we're in a church building or you're watching online, that doesn't guarantee that you are in Christ. The only way that you're guaranteed to be in Christ is if you have put your faith, your trust in Jesus. Not if you go to church, not if you read your Bible, but if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you do that, you are in Christ. And then what he tells us is that you are free from the sin of law and the sin of death. You're free from that. Verse number 3. For the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. God did by sending his own son in likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So what he's saying here simply is sin has a power over us, a strangle on our life, but God sent Jesus to free us of that, and that Christ took on all the ways that we have to try to earn that. He took on all the requirements so that we can have free access to the freedom that Jesus offers us, the power of sin. And oftentimes, sin is what destroys our mind. It's our frustration. It's our anger. It's our lust. It's the things. It's our fear. It goes against our mind. What this passage says is that you are free from that through Christ. And that word condemnation, you've been free from, there's no condemnation. I believe that this passage is actually talking about a twofold. There is the eternal condemnation. Apart from Christ, there's hell. But I think there's also a mental condemnation. I believe that you and I condemn ourselves daily in our mind. We speak death over ourselves. We say you're not good enough. You won't be what you're supposed to be. Why are you always failing? Why don't you get this right? Why aren't you a better mother? Why aren't you a better daughter? Why aren't you a better son? Man, why don't you provide better? We speak condemnation, and that word condemnation literally means to speak or express unfavorable judgment upon. Not good judgment. To say a strong disapproval of, and to pronounce as guilty, worthy of punishment. If we were honest and we looked inside of our minds, that's often what our minds are saying about us. You're not good enough. You got buck teeth, Tim. Nobody's going to like you. Why did Kirsten marry you? She's way out of your league, man. You weren't supposed to laugh at that. Honestly, though, right? We do this. We speak these things over ourselves in our mind. We put a good front on at church, but if we were to go into each other's mind, we'd be so sad for each other. Because of what we speak over each other daily. We tear ourselves down. We don't speak and we don't have hope. Our mind tells us we're not good enough. We can't make it. And we don't really experience this freedom. We are condemning ourselves daily. We've condemned our future. Some of you have watched way too much news lately and you're condemning the future of your life because it's stuck, because it's like there's no hope. We're toast. Nothing good's gonna happen. Instead of allowing God to direct us and guide us, we're allowing other people to direct and guide our hope. So Paul says, you're not condemned. But then what is the key? How do we access this key to actually have the freedom? Well, Paul tells us that in verse number 5. Romans 8, verse 5 says, those who live according to their flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. So whatever your flesh desires, when you're living by your flesh, your mind is thinking about that. Now, flesh can envelop all of the concept of, you know, pornography or sin or anger, but flesh can also be straight up insecurity. You're thinking about the insecurity. You're thinking about how you're not good enough. You're thinking about what's wrong with you. You're thinking about maybe that one person that you're angry about and they just annoy you. And there's just something about how they talk that just makes you irritable. You know, it's just that thing. When you think about those things, that's what the flesh is doing. But those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So if we're going to live with the Spirit, our mind's set on that. Now, I love verse 6 through verse 8. He breaks this down so beautifully. The mind governed. Think of like a legislator, they're governing by the flesh is death. So when your mind is being ruled by these thoughts and these deathly thoughts of your life and who you are and other people, it literally kills you. How many, you don't have to raise your hand for this one, but man, if we were just honest, how many of us actually our lives feel like death right now because of our brains? Feel just hopeless. Feel just worn out. Feel just, there is no life ahead of me. Because when we let our flesh just rule us, it's going to lead us to death. It's going to give you no energy, no excitement for life. It'll lead you to depression and hopelessness. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life. And what's that word? Peace. Don't you love that? When our mind is governed by the Spirit, we have life and peace. That sound mind. When Christ is ruling our minds, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So Paul paints this beautiful picture of where we set our mind actually impacts how our life is. So I invite you up to get ready. My wife and I, we had a plant in our house. It's a big plant. At first I thought it was ugly, but then it became beautiful. But it's this big plant in our house, and we moved the plant into our bedroom where it was a lot of darkness. And over time, I slowly noticed that plant began to wither down and slowly die. And so my wife saw it and said, hey, we need to get this thing into the light. And she grabbed this pot and brought it into the light. And over time, that plant slowly came back to life. And Tony's about to show you an illustration that will describe this. But some of you today, you need to get out of the darkness and back into the light with the Lord. Get your mind out of that dark place and bring it back into the light. And Tony now is going to give you an illustration to show you how that's done.
So the mind set on the flesh is death, but I don't think that's any of our intent, right? When we fill our minds with different kinds of thoughts, whether they come from us or they come from other people, could be things about work, things at school, could be, you know, when are they going to allow us to be in person again? When are, you know, things going to get back to normal? What about my job? What happens if my job doesn't come back? How am I going to provide for my family? And you know what? I've been kind of miserable in my marriage for years. And, you know, I don't really know how to start the conversation with anybody. So I just, you know, I'm just going to kind of keep it inside. But I think about it all the time. I think about it daily. And I'm kind of overtaken by this thought that, you know, what if I'll never get happy again like I used to be? You know what, my kids are really, really struggling right now. I don't really know how to help them with their issues. I don't know how to help them find joy again. They've had everything taken away from them this year. What do I do when I don't know what to do? You know what? What do I do when these feelings that I have just kind of perpetuate? Like, and I feel like I'm just becoming this person that I never really meant to be, but I can't escape it. It's always around me. I'm always thinking about it. I'm always worried. And so I'm just filling my mind up with all of this junk. the mind set on the flesh is death. One could even say the mind set on the flesh is too full for anything else. And for you and I, when our minds are set on the things immediately in front of us and nothing else, what room is there for anything good, anything healing, anything true? But as we look at Romans chapter 8, there is a mindset. There's an option for us. When we set our minds on the flesh, oftentimes we are too full, we are too scattered to think about anything true. But what God's word illustrates for us and tells us is that the mindset on the Spirit, the mindset, the choice that we make to be governed by the Spirit instead of the flesh, is an option for you and me. How do we do that? How do we change the mindset that we have, that maybe we brought in with us this morning? The Spirit always brings truth. Always. And even in the most crowded parts of our mind, the truth finds its way in. There's always room for true things to fill in the gaps of our minds. And sometimes, you know, we take a little bit of scripture, we take a little bit of time in the morning, and we sit down with God's word, and oh, it's refreshing, it's great. But then we walk right out the door and nothing's different. Our mind is still busy and running with things that are just tearing us apart. But sometimes we trip the trigger too quick. We say, well, that didn't work. You know, that was kind of a juicy little time, but you know, the rest of my life, it's not going to affect anything. And we kind of bail on this idea of filling our minds with what is true, having our minds set on the Spirit instead of the flesh. And I want to encourage you this morning that you shouldn't stop. These things are real. These things that your mind is filled with are real. They're not just going to leave you. Your worries, your anxieties, your depression, it's not just going to leave because you want it to. You have to keep filling it with truth, because what happens when you continue to see these things take root in your life, some of these thoughts, these worries, these lies can tend to find their way out of your mind because you're filled with something else. And so you just keep pouring it over. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to fill my mind with God's truth. And I'm going to watch these things that I thought would never leave me, I'm going to watch them continue to find their way out of my mind. But what happens when we're better than we used to be? What happens when, you know, yeah, I got this stuff, these kind of immediate gut check reactions. But, you know, everybody has that. Everybody has worries. Everybody has cares and anxieties. And that's just part of life. But, you know, you see this? I got some truth in me. But what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? What's the first impression someone gets from you? Is it that your mind is set on the flesh and therefore your life is governed by the Spirit? Oftentimes, no. Oftentimes, what people see from afar, our witness, is that we're just as chained to these worries, these anxieties, as the rest of the world. So what do we do, church? Truth. More truth. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace until there is no longer any room for lies, for anxieties, for depression. And the great thing about this is the more filled we are with God's truth, the harder it is for these worries, these lies, these anxieties to stick and take deep root into our lives. We will always have these things, right? But they'll never take root because our minds are not set on the flesh anymore. Our minds are set on the Spirit, and our minds are filled with God's truth.
Wasn't that good? Fill your mind with the truths of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, we encourage at this church to read 3 chapters of God's word every single day, getting those truths in. as you're driving to work or going to school, put on a podcast of a sermon, listen to some truths, listen to scripture, listen to things that God wants to say over you, not what people want to say at you. Fill your mind with God's truths. Put a blockade against those that would want to tear you down. I want to close with this. I'll invite the worship team forward. To put a fence around your mind is a good thing to do. You can block things, you can say no to this or that, but the most important thing you can do is what you fill your mind with. God gave us a key, and he told us where you set your mind, where do you place your mind, where are you daily placing your mind? And oftentimes, we place our mind on the phone or on the TV or on the worry, and we set it there, and we leave it there, we let it grow there. But I want to encourage you to grab that pot that's in that dark place. Pull that out. Bring it to the light daily in Jesus and watch what Jesus can do in your life. I believe that in the midst of all that goes on in our world, that we are supposed to be the most hope-filled, happy people. No matter what's taking place, that what Christ has done in us and what he can do through us gives us the joy that's unspeakable. And I want to encourage you today to do exactly that illustration. Each of us do this. When our mind's running 1,000 miles an hour, grab your Bible and just read it. When all the lies are coming at you, or somebody says something that brings up that insecurity about who you are, and you just, it's going in your mind again, grab God's word, or maybe get a small group around you, some people that speak life over you. It was so great because I was with my close-knit crew up in Minnesota. I got some really close homies upstairs up in the north part of this world. And we were together, and it was just so empowering to say, hey, you know what? I'm struggling with this. I was thinking this. I had this thought about myself, and I don't think it's right. And then they came around me and just spoke life into me. They said, no, Tim, that's not who you are. You are more than that. Christ has set you free. You are an amazing person. God loves you. But if you don't have that in your life, all you will hear is death. And you'll be like that plant in the closet that slowly withers and dies. God has set you free. You are a child of God. You are precious. Don't let the lies, don't let the stress, don't let the anxiety fill your mind. Let's be a church. Let's be a people that are full of his truths in our lives. Let's stand up. We're going to close with two songs. We're going to sing these out together. And if there's the prayer team here, we're going to have prayer people on the front and on the sides. And if you just need prayer this morning, maybe your mind, well, it's not a maybe. You know your mind, how it's crazy, how it's going all the time. If you just need prayer this morning for that, somebody come alongside you and speak some truth over you. Speak life and hope over you. No matter what the situation is, this amazing prayer team would love to pray over you this morning. So we're going to sing these two songs. If you need prayer this morning, come forward and grab prayer.